Normally we read the law first from Exodus 20, and then we read the gospel. So we hear the law and then we hear the gospel. In what we are called to do and to be, and then the way through Jesus Christ. Today, both law and gospel are in one passage. So instead of turning to Exodus 20, I would like to read Deuteronomy 5, where we read the second reading of the law. Deuteronomos means second law or second reading, where the Israelites got the law again, the new generation, as they stood before the land of Canaan. Exodus is when they stood at Mount Sinai. So let's read, and then we read till the end of the law, verse 21, and then we'll sing Psalter 40, 1 and 3 in response to the law, and then we'll complete the reading of chapter 5, verse 22 through 29, or 30. Deuteronomy 5, and we begin at verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went up into the mount, saying, 'I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that's in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy and the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.'" And then the fourth commandment, which we hope to consider today: "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Neither shalt thou steal. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's." These words, verse 22, "the Lord spoke unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. It came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of darkness, for the mountain that burned with fire, that you came near to me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. You have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that it would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Thus far, the word of the congregation, the summary of God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, is love. Of God above all, first table, the first four commandments, and a neighbor as ourselves, the second table, the last six commandments. They already consider the first three. Love rule number one. No idols, no other gods. Love rule number two, no images. Love rule number three, don't curse. And today, love rule number four, keep Sabbath. You see, the moral law is not abolished. The ceremonial law is. Jesus fulfilled and kept both. He also exemplified them in an ongoing way. It wasn't abolished at the end of the Old Testament. It was elevated. And it was also receiving an extra emphasis, as we will see together. And I would like to read Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, and also Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15 again. I want you to compare it, if you can, just by reading and thinking how you remember each. I want you to catch certain keywords like remember and keep and holy and sanctified and day, not hour. So Exodus 20. You hear it every Sunday. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Deuteronomy 5:12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, by stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. If you notice, the wherefore and the therefore is seemingly in conflict. Exodus 20 says, remember creation. Ex or Deuteronomy says, remember, recreation, redemption. Let's now read the catechism that goes with it, Lord's Day 38. You can find it in the back of your Psalter, it's page 74. And you see there that these two passages are represented. Question 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? And the answer, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Our theme is love rule number 4, keep Sabbath. First, we want to see this rest in God. Second, glory in God. A third, delight in God. And I just want to read the one of the 10 pleasures, how Dr. Murray put each of these commandments in a positive frame, as I did with the other three. Enjoy the pleasure of 6 days working in God's calling for you, and then enjoy the freedom of one full day of work to worship God and rest. So then first, rest in God. And I would say as our Creator. Rest in God as our Creator. In Exodus 20 we read, remember. Interesting. It's the only commandment that begins with remember. In other words, it was known way before the law was given on the mountain. They are called to remember and then to keep the Lord's day. In Deuteronomy we read about keeping and then remembering. Remember to keep. Keep on remembering. You can say the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Sanctify, you know that, means to set apart. Just like as we are a set apart people to God, so we have a set apart day. As a set apart people to hear God speak to us. And that ties into the preaching. Let's hope to hear more about this afternoon, Lord willing. Both the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, is totally neglected by the world and very neglected by most churches today. So is the preaching. Slowly pushed further and further away. To only be a small component at best, if it's not altogether ceremonial. Remember, the Lord says. Keep it. We saw the wherefore and the therefores very clearly in the catechism. That means for that reason. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Because God says so. He commanded us to remember and to keep. Israel knew it. Even before Sinai, just one example. Exodus 16, that's before Exodus 20. We read verse 23. And Moses said to them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that you will bake today. And seize, I think that's boil or cook, that you will seize. And that which remains over, lay up for you to be kept till the morning. Prepare it on the day before. The same chapter, Exodus 16, verse 29. See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Remember, children, Sabbath day? The day before the Sabbath? They got a double portion to collect of the manna. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So it predates Sinai. It predates The formation of this, the nation of Israel, goes back to creation. The day of rest, 1 and 7. It's universal law. We read about the stranger being included. It's not just for the Jews. God made it very clear, abundantly clear, for the whole world, all times and all places. It's not just 9 commandments, but 10. All 10, extremely serious matters, as we saw with the other ones. Remember when we talked about children, about the second commandment, made up in the Bible? What did they do? Took strange fire. Well, what's the difference between fire and fire? Fire came from the Lord and consumed these men. That's serious. Remember about the fifth commandment? Don't curse. Remember about that man who was a half-breed, was a half-Egyptian, half-Jew? He cursed when he was fighting. They put him aside. What happened to the man? He was stoned to death. It's a serious matter. Now, the fact that they're not stoned to death or smitten by or struck by fire doesn't mean that the law is no longer important. You can say, well, I'm not so dumb, I just disobeyed. That God's judgment is delayed is not a blessing. It will only aggravate it when it finally strikes. Nadab and Abihu were struck by fire, but that was but a moment. Eternal hellfire is worse. Hell is worse. It's a serious matter. In Exodus 31, so these two, Exodus 16 was before the law was given. Exodus 31 it says, and it emphasizes the seriousness. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Exodus 35:2-3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day shall be no to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And then number 15. 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. What's the big deal? Pick up a few sticks, make a fire. But in 35 we read, and the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. He was thrown out of the fellowship of believers, not just temporarily. And then in verse 29, actually, earlier it says, you shall have one law for him that sins through ignorance, both from him, for him that's born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Remember, there was the Egyptian half-breed. Was included too. It's a serious matter. Why is it? Because it's a reflection of God's character. As I said the other day, it's not just Adam and Eve taking that one apple. It's a small thing. But it's against whom it is committed is the offense. The infinite offense. And it's the same with the fourth commandment. It's his character. He's a consuming fire, but he's also love. Holy love, though. But love. His 10 laws are 10 love rules. So, when we're called to keep Sabbath, really that means to observe or celebrate. It's a feast day. Day of rest. I want you to think about that. And children, and all the ones, you know, we often think about the laws as negatives. Oh, I may not do this. I cannot do that. I may not work. Wait a minute. Step back. Look at it as a privilege. You don't have to work. No matter how busy you are, how pressing it is, you can sit back and not work and not feel guilty. All the other 6 days, you sit back and don't work, you better feel guilty. But not on the Sabbath. I remember when I came to see it for the first time, I don't have to work. It's liberty in a crazy world. Rat race. Put it aside. Isn't that awesome? The word Sabbath means rest. That's all it means. It's a rest day. So we're called to rest from work. Don't work. But it clearly is more than that. It's set aside for a holy purpose. Rest as He rested. Rest in God. Because God said very plainly, because I created this 6 days and I rested the seventh, therefore I want you to do the same. Now children, you don't think God was tired after 6 days, do you think so? I've been creating this for a whole week now. So I got to need a time. And of course not. God does never get tired. So what does that mean, resting? You know what that means? It's looking back as it were, standing back, and see that it was very good. Enjoying, delighting in what He has done. You do that sometimes. I see that when you color pictures or draw a picture, you're busy at it, and then suddenly you do like that. What are you doing? You're delighting. You think, oh, it's nice. And keep going. You want to show other people too. I see you come run out of the Sunday class all the time with pictures. Been drawing. That's the one part only of resting, of the Sabbath. We'll talk to glory and delight yet. This is resting. God rested from what He had done. He stood back as it were, if I put, and He said, that was a good day. A good week. He delighted in His own work. And He wants us to join us. That's what it is to be sanctified and hallowed. To do it as Jesus did. To make holy use of the day. Why don't you think about that? You know what the root is of the word holiday? Ever thought about that? A holiday was a holy day. That's the only holidays people had in former times. Holy days. It's really a change in English language over years. Holiday. Holy day. You know what you may also say? Whole day. It's a whole day. They had to keep it from sundown to sunup. From sundown one day to sundown the next day. I'm not going to be technical about it. But I do believe that really it's 24 hours. Now, it doesn't mean you can't sleep. Well, that's resting too, isn't it? Of course you can sleep. Just don't work. Rest in Me. Rest from work and in Me. Rest in God. That's the first point of our theme right here. God doesn't get tired. We do. I just wonder how Adam and Eve celebrated the first seventh day. Were they tired, do you think, of working in the garden? No. But they just stopped what they were doing and they were just contemplating God. They're created to be image bearers of God. And God is a God who delights in His work. And He wants us to delight in His work too. To reflect Him. To honor Him as our Creator. Paul says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So not just the rest from work, but in God. To remember that He made us. And He kept us another week. And we do that in private at home. And in church, the whole day, through Jesus Christ. Come unto Me, all you that are weary and labor, and I will give you rest. That's what He wants us to do on Sunday. Come unto Me, Jesus. He's talking to us. And at the Lord's Supper table, He says, in addition to that, do this in remembrance of Me. Don't get stuck in the ceremonies. This brings us to the second point. Glory in God. So not only rest in God, but glory in God. So as we say, rest in God as our Creator, so I would say glory in God as our Redeemer. We're stepping it up. That's what God did from going from Exodus to Deuteronomy. 40 years in between. In the Catechism it says, the first thing that is what God required, the first thing is the ministry of the gospel. And the schools to be maintained. You pray, wonder what in the world the schools have to do with that? Well, originally it was seminaries. In the time of the Reformation, train men to preach. There's a dire need for that. Because it wasn't done in the Roman Catholic Church. The most important part of the Roman Catholic Church was the Mass. Ceremonies. The Reformers put Christ on preachers. These men preached the gospel. They translated the Bible from original into the common languages of the people. All of them did. Luther, Calvin, John Knox, many of them. French, German, English. The ministry of the gospel be maintained. The gospel. The picture of the gospel. Good news for bad people. You see. It had to be priority. It had to be preached, it had to be taught in the schools. Eventually they had also elementary schools and high schools where they would teach the children. In Israel they had Sabbath schools where the Levites, who were all through the country, taught the children. Of course the fathers first at home. Deuteronomy 6 comes after Deuteronomy 5. Read Deuteronomy 6 sometime today or read it. It's to teach your children and cause them to be taught. Bring them to the Sabbath school, bring them to church. Bring them to the temple, to the tabernacle, the feast days. Let the children ask questions. Daddy, what is this Passover all about? And then they ask the children questions. What's this all about? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, other days too if possible, but for sure on the Sabbath, that's on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, contribute to the relief of the poor. Well, that's what we do. Talk to you more about that this afternoon too. Diligently frequent the church. You know what the word frequent as a verb means? Diligently observe. As often as you possibly can. So that when you're not there, it's an exception to a rule. And it better be a good one. Do my utmost to come to church frequently, as often as possible. Only stay home for lawful reasons. And your own conscience has to determine that. But in light of the word of God, this man thought he could pick up a few sticks. Big deal. Well, it was. Nadab and Abihu thought he could bring some fire. What's the difference? Well, God, not me, made a big difference. Diligently frequent the church. Especially on the Sabbath day. It's a priority. Diligently means prayerfully. Because how can you diligently go to church? You cannot just sit there. If at all possible, you read ahead of time what that's going to be about. You're going to reflect in prayer for a few minutes. That's why, dear congregation, I say it in love, but be earlier to church. Don't come walking in when the service is going on. Be here 10 minutes, 15 minutes ahead. Sit down, read the Bible, pray. For your pastor, for you, for your children. You see, this is so put well in our confession, our catechism. It's reflective of the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. Not only rest in God as our Creator, but also glory in Him as our Redeemer. Exodus 20, remember your creation. Deuteronomy 5, remember your redemption. As it were, God says to His people, so keep Sabbath when you're in the promised land. There was always a picture. The promised land, and of course they didn't keep Sabbath as they would, because the real promised land is yet to come, the Sabbath to come, as it says in the end of the Catechism. Thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That's what we do right now. If you keep Sabbath, the better you keep Sabbath now, the more you'll have preparation for and delight in the future Sabbath. The reason to keep Sabbath is expanding. Not only creation is included, but also redemption. And of course, it really was already included in Exodus 20, as I often say. Because how does Exodus 20 begin? I'm the Lord your God who led you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So the gospel is there already. The law is in the context of the covenant. We read in Deuteronomy 5 that God made his covenant with you. He didn't just give you a law. He made a covenant, an agreement. I command you to do this. This is the way. Moral law, Ten Commandments. Ceremonial law, the blood of Jesus. In short, the Lamb of God. That's the way. Walk in it. You see, deliverance from Egypt is really a picture of the gospel. For Israel, all these years, but for us today too. It's a picture. Remember that they had to get out of the houses first. How did they get? Passover. Remember the blood. Behind the blood they were safe. Then they were led to the Red Sea in the wilderness. First set free, then they heard the law. In other words, not do this and you will live, but live and you will do this. Old Testament, it was shedding of blood through the sacrifices. Now it's in Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 2:27, we read, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. For our good. And Jesus kept the Sabbath while he was Lord. You think he had no obligation to keep it? He created it. But he did. So in other words, he not only did it for us, but also before us. Not only to redeem us, but to exemplify it. But that Jesus, my business is to be my Father's house. He said already as a 12-year-old. So his parents, when they were looking for him, yeah, how come you didn't find me? Wouldn't you think I'd be in the temple? My Father's house. As it is and was with Jesus, so it should be with us. He kept all 10 commandments. Psalm 40 verse 7, we read about his attitude to his father. Then said I come. Can you say it? Do you say it in the volume of the book it's written of me? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The law is in his heart. Love ruled him. Does love rule you? That's in the fourth commandment. There's no way he abolished it. He reinforced it. He put it on a higher level. Really. All the commandments. Read the Sermon on the Mount. How the Lord Jesus didn't kind of let go. No, he tightened the net. To have the gospel all the more shine. See, the Pharisees, and we are prone to do the same thing. Make God's law manageable. Dear congregation, the law of God is not manageable. If it would be, Jesus had not come. He did come. To make it manageable for us. In Him. So Sabbath keeping didn't end with the Old Testament. Barely had started. Barely started. Even today. Remember, the first Sabbath kept, they started. Yes, they went to the New Testament. All right, but we only have seen glimpses of it. What do we read in Hebrews 4 verse 9? There remains therefore a rest, Sabbath, to the people of God. Let's labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Many fell for not keeping the Sabbath. Let's not be among them. So how do we labor to enter into Sabbath? Well, go to church. Spend the whole day into God. Keep Sabbath. Stand in awe of love, even now. Diligently. Contribute as becomes a Christian, a follower of Christ. Christ kept the Sabbath. So love by Him, love like Him. So we not only rest in God, but we also glory in God through Christ. That means we praise Him, we worship Him, we hear Him speak, we show reverence when He speaks. We're not walking out easily for any reason, to have a cup of coffee or to have a glass of water. We can do that before or after. You need to go to the washroom, yes, I can understand. But otherwise, it's God who speaks. We just read in Deuteronomy 5 that the people were so scared when God spoke directly. They pleaded with Moses, let not God speak to us, but let Him do it through you. Through man. God says, that's a good idea, if I may put it in my own words. Let it be so. And from then on, that's how God mostly did it. But of course, the disadvantage of that is that people treat it as the mere voice of a man. And I can understand, because you look at me and you think, oh, it's only a man. Yes, I am. I am. Hope to say more about that this afternoon, what preaching really all is about. When we consider Peter, the preacher. So love, rule number 4, keep Sabbath. Rest in God. Glory in God. That means honor. And worship Him as while He speaks to you, particularly. It's interesting how the fourth commandment is the last one of the first table, and then the fifth commandment, the first one on the next table, are both two commandments that are beginning in a positive note. All the other ones, 8, are negatives. I think the fourth commandment is a connection and serves as a bridge to the fifth. And we hope to hear that, Lord willing, and more about it next time. To truly live then, and to truly keep Sabbath, is to truly love and adore God through Christ. And that brings us to the third point. Delight in God. Rest, glory, and delight. Delight in God. So rest in God is our Creator. Glory in God is our Redeemer. And then rest in God as our Father. That's home. You see, that's stepping up, as it were, to closer and closer to heaven and fellowship. So God delights in His work and in Himself, and so we are called to do the same, that is to keep Sabbath. And in Adam we lost it, tragically, but in Christ it is restored. Now by faith, one day, in perfection. So we rest, listen to this, we rest in God's creation, because that's where we are. And as believers, we can also rest in God's recreation. Does that word remind you of something? We say it differently. We don't say recreation. We say recreation. Where do you think that word came from? Isn't recreation is resting from word? Well, if you want some recreation, come to church. If you want to be recreated into the image of God, hear Him speak. And see Him by faith as He is in the Scriptures. At home, in your private and family devotions, in your church, when you hear His Word. This is what God speaking to us is all about. We too often come with all our problems to God, and God says, that's only symptoms. Come to Me. Get right with Me, then all the other things will come into play. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All the other things will be added. To receive new life, new zeal, new love for Him who died and rose for us, be quickened by Spirit as we hear His Word. Shift from creation to also include recreation or redemption. And also from the Saturday to the Sunday, the 7th to the 1st, still one of 7. So we not only meet with each other on the Lord's Day, but primarily with Christ. It's the first reason. But the people began to get together on the Lord's Day. All these 40 days in between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus met with his disciples, and they met on the day Jesus arose from the dead. He's Lord of the Sabbath. When they met each other on the Lord's Day, the very first Lord's Day, that was a Sunday, he is risen indeed. The old is done away. The veil rent. The ceremonial aspect of the fourth commandment is done. But not the moral aspect. And Jesus set a pattern. 40 days. Each day. We read he appeared to the disciples on the first day of the week. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. You can look them up yourself. Pattern continued till Pentecost. Why were they on that day? Well, it was Pentecost, you say. Yes, but what day was Pentecost? You realize it was not a Sabbath day. Pentecost means 50. It was the 50th day after Jesus' death, or the 50th day really after Passover. It was not a Sabbath. 7 times 7 is 49 plus 1. Not a Saturday, but a Sunday. The people were ready to meet with Jesus. The first time they didn't expect him. Second time when they began to look for him. And if he didn't appear physically, he was there spiritually. He made it very plain. That's why the Holy Spirit was poured forth on a Sunday. We would say Lord's Day. Of course it was a day where the sun was worshipped. In the Gentile world. But it became the Lord's Day. The pattern continued on. The Apostle Paul, he always began to meet with the people of the Jews on the Sabbath day, but as soon as there was a Christian church, he met with them on the Lord's Day. They don't only move from the synagogue to a home, but from the Sabbath Saturday to the Lord's Day Sunday. It's implied everywhere. It became a universal practice. They collected on those days. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2, contribute to the relief of the poor on the first day of the week, it says. Paul preached his farewell sermon, Acts 20 verse 7, on the Lord's Day. That means a Sunday, the first day of the week. The ancient church worshipped on the Lord's Day. The ancient church fathers all agree on that. And some people say that it's a tradition that was started by Emperor Constantine the Great. It's not true. He didn't start it. He just confirmed it when he became a Christian. It was already common practice for 300 years. What he did was to acknowledge and confirm it that everybody needed to be off work. Also, servant, manservant, and maidservants. Because he realized that the Bible said that your servants have to rest on the Sunday. Well, that means that you have to shut shop. They made a law. So people could attend church if they wanted to. They could attend if they would want to. He didn't recommend that. But they could worship the sun too, or whatever, or not worship anybody. But at least the Christians would not be forced to work on the Lord's Day. Does that look familiar? Didn't that happen in America too? Weren't there laws? Employers were not to require people to work on Sunday? What happened to them? They were called the Blue Laws. They were well into the last century. In Ontario, I think it's still officially in the law, unless it's changed by now, but when we lived there, it was still in the law, that truck drivers weren't allowed to drive on Sundays. It's incredible. In Toronto, stores were, by law, to be shut on Sundays. And I'm sure it was in America the same. Is it an invention of man? Of course not. It's confirmation of the law of God that it's universal. So people don't have to work. They can go to church. The servant and the stranger alike. We've lost that, the congregation. Not only in our country, but in the churches too. Where would there be a stranger or a non-Christian going around through town on Sunday? Well, nothing to do. Oh, maybe I could go to church. I mean, I'm talking about a different planet now, am I not? That's what it used to be 100 years ago. You go through towns, it was quiet, and the only people you should travel was to and from church. And of course, I can talk about the world, that's easy. I can always point fingers. But what about us? How do we treat this day? Oh, it's only this. That's not the point. Jesus, through God, or God through Jesus, through the Word, says, keep Sabbath. Set this day apart to me. The congregation, I don't know how it's with you, but we're only the fourth commandment. But I am so convicted. Hope you are too. We rest from work, but in God. We glory in salvation, but in God. In Christ, He's the focus. As we remember, we worship Him, we exalt Him, confessing our sins, trusting in Jesus, what He has done for us. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, give me 1 day out of 7. He doesn't say, give me 6 out of 7. One of the commentators says, we have to exalt Him and exult in Him. Exalt with an A, worship, glorify, and exult is to adore and love. Delights in Him. So that we begin to do on this day what we will do in eternity if our believers are serious about it. As the Catechism says, secondly, that all the days of my life, all the days, not only on the Sabbath, but particularly on the Sabbath, I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath, from one Sabbath to the next. Reminded, it's not just about here, these 6 days consume me, but it's about something else. That's what you're missing if you don't have Sabbath. Day. Day. We need it. We need it. Rest. That's not just only about listening. It's not only about passive rest, also active rest. We give, we contribute to the poor, we fellowship with each other, we ask each other's well-being, we ask Him to pray for you, and all that is part of that. We can also visit people. I mean, when the Bible speaks about doing no work, Jesus made it very plain to the Pharisees, it wasn't about emergency stuff. You get to work when it's an emergency. Works of mercy, works of necessity. Westminster Logic Catechism says about this Sunday, make it a delight to spend the whole time, except so much as it is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy, in the public and private exercises of God's worship. Works of necessity and mercy. Now, what all of this include? Farmers, you would think, right? Farmers are included. They have to feed the cattle and milk the cows and things like that. Doctors, nurses, care for patients, police officers, and there's a number of people with works of necessity and mercy. But the question is, can we rightly rank that under necessity and mercy? If not, then it ought not to be done. It's not so much about being legalistic about it, but about getting to the root of the matter. Is this day, my question to you and to me, is this day what the Puritans called it to be, the marked day of the soul? Smorgasbord. Delight. We have two worship services, we have classes in between, we have fellowship and lunch in between, delicious food all the time. I mean, what a picture! So it means you may delight in food on Sunday, sure. Of course. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. A solemn warning. It's not something new that we're dealing with here. if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So what is it? To keep Sabbath. It's well to look to Christ and to do like Christ. When he was challenged about these disciples rubbing some corn in their hands and eating it, Jesus told them very plainly in Mark 3, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? So is it lawful to do good or right? Of course it is. He told them about if an animal gets in the pit, you pull it out. A house is on fire, you get pails of water and you try to stop it. That's why the Catechism says, cease from all our evil works and begin to rest in God to get a foretaste of the Sabbath. Do you see how that motivates to get back to work? Public and private exercises of God's worship. So when you come home at the end of the Sabbath day, or when you drive home, are you talking about? Parents, are you asking about? They remembered anything about the sermon or the class? What do you hear about today? Because clearly the children are going to have about the fourth commandment too, and our adult class is going to be about the fourth commandment as well. So you can say, ask them, what did you hear? What did you learn? Maybe parents, children can ask mom and dad, so what did you learn in your class? What was it about? You digest what you heard and apply it, or explain it to your children. Children, ask your parents. If there's something maybe you wrote down and you didn't get it, didn't understand, you can ask me, but you can ask mom and dad too. So at the end of the Sabbath day, you can go to bed in time. Yeah, because I know that for many of you it's not just physical rest, it's a lot of traveling, I understand. But aren't you thankful? You don't have to work 7 days a week. That's what people do. Many people do. Even many Christians. Have church on Saturday night and Sunday morning. There are already churches only on Saturday night to keep the Sunday free. Saturday night church. There was a Saturday night church in Grand Rapids. And here we have a Thursday church. Well, they, I think God is still on Sunday. Only in the morning. What happened to the second service? And why do we need it? We'll talk about it more in the class. You see, to not only do what God commanded, but what God desired for us. The Sabbath was made for us, so we'd rest in Him. To recover in Christ what we lost in Adam. Jesus said, it's my Father's business. They cannot know. And we know too that I don't know what the Sabbath rest in heaven is going to be all like. But we know it's a new heaven and a new earth. I know that Adam and Eve worked 6 days a week. Will we work? Do the angels work? Do they work only 6 days a week? 7 days? What do they do on the seventh that's different from the six other days? I don't know. But if you're pursuing this now with anticipation and expectation, we will know. I think the more we keep Sabbath now, the more we'll grow in longing for that rest. There's a rest. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Let's labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Amen.